Welcome back to the Advanced Relationship Podcast, Just Bryce Today. I want to talk about dating and specifically the experience of being ghosted by somebody else. If you like what Jenny and I are doing, make sure to subscribe and you can also sign up for our newsletter and I'll put the link in the description. So let's get started. The first thing I want to talk about is this experience that many people have in dating, which is that you're interested in people that are not as interested in you. And the people that are interested in you, you aren't interested in them. I get this from a lot of people that seek out help with their dating life. The first thing to understand about this is that we are always subconsciously ranking ourselves in comparison to the other person based on our values and what we care about. So take the example of going on a blind date with somebody and you find out that they live in their parents' basement and they don't have a job and they're not in school and they don't take very good care of their bodies and they play a lot of video games and they spend the majority of the date complaining about their life or the world or whatever. Odds are you're going to rank them somewhere below your standards. There may be some interesting parts about their personality or they might be a little bit funny, but for most people, they're going to say, no, I think I can do better than this. And it's not that they value the person any less as a person. It's just the way that they're living their life doesn't really align or support the life that you want to live. So therefore, you're probably not going to be as interested in this person. On the flip side, if you were to meet someone who you find very attractive and they have a really good job, they love their job, they have a good connection with their family and friends, they have a lot of hobbies, and they make you laugh, and they're very interesting and charming, you're going to be looking up at them as someone that you'd really want to partner with. And not that this is all of what you're thinking about in the moment, but there are these ways that we kind of suss out and rank each other in comparison with others. And there may even be ways that we get disillusioned by some things that we value and we forget about others. So for instance, someone might be really attractive, but their personality is kind of arrogant and mean and sarcastic, and we don't really like that. But because in our society, a lot of us are taught to really value looks and success, we might let that overshadow some of the relational components of what we're experiencing with them. But the reason I bring this up is that it's okay that we have this kind of ranking and positioning system in our minds around what we value and who we think we deserve. And that it's at the beginning, usually based on a surface level amount of information. Because people are doing the same thing with us, right? They only see what they can see within a profile picture and a description, or what they can gather from meeting us on the first date. They don't really know all of us yet, but they're trying to make sense of what they can see and if we meet their standards and vice versa. And I'm a believer that you don't really get to know someone until you spend a significant amount of time with them. But the problem is when you're dating, you don't really have that luxury. You only have a profile, you have some text message conversations, and maybe you have a date or two. And after that, it's a common experience once you've started a text conversation or matched with them or even gone on a date or two that people just disappear. That is what ghosting is. It's essentially disappearing without saying where you're going or why you're going. And although as a blanket statement, I think ghosting is kind of immature and silly and disrespectful, it's also not illegal, and it's okay for someone to just stop responding to you. It's a boundary, it's clear, and there's not much you can do about it. But let's talk about what this means, how people sometimes misinterpret this, meaning they make up a story about it that might not be true, and how you can work with your own emotional experience and the situation when you've been ghosted. What I want to highlight first is that for the most part, if someone's ghosting you, what it means is they're not interested in you. And I know that you probably already know that intellectually, but it's easy to get into a fantasy that maybe they'll come back, or maybe they're just kind of busy, or you just have to get one more date with them for you to show them just how awesome you really are. It could be true that you end up going on another date with this person and they start to like you more and you continue on and start a relationship, but you just can't count on it. Because what I see people doing sometimes is they get so wrapped up into the idea of one person that they have blinders on and they forget that there's many other people out there and that it isn't really worth your time to stay in a fantasy about one person whom you really don't know much about yet. When I was dating, and now this has been 10 years ago when Tinder was the only app and I was doing online dating before I met Jenny, if someone missed a meetup or they couldn't meet up within a week, I practiced letting that person go. If I showed interest and they knew it, I said I wanted to meet up because I really didn't want to spend that much time having a text conversation and putting any time and energy in until we finally got to meet, because I think that's where I could really suss out if I like this person, as if we were in the same room together, feeling each other's energy, making eye contact, having that type of relationship. I didn't spend much time text dating or setting things up or waiting around for people. That was my strategy, and I think it really worked because I didn't find myself waiting for others to make time for me. If they couldn't meet up within a week or so, usually I just let that person go. And if they wanted to reach out later and set something up, they could, right? So I think one really important piece of dating advice that I want to give you is that you do have to practice letting go, because in doing that, you can continue to have fun with it and feel good about it. If you're getting attached and hooked in and you're making up stories about yourself that might not be true, that like, oh, maybe you're not pretty enough, not handsome enough, not successful enough, not smart enough, those things don't feel good. We do not know if those things are true. Often when someone goes, you know, we don't get the feedback. It's a reality that it's really hard for us still to be honest in this space where we don't really have much invested in the relationship. So there's not a return on the investment of giving the feedback. I mean, some people do it, which is really awesome, but most people don't. They just disappear and you don't really know why. So it doesn't help to make up stories about why you think they didn't respond to you. So the practice is to let go of those stories and to let go of people that aren't willing to show up with you in a reasonable time frame and put in the work, you know, and to keep it equal so that you're both sharing the load of trying to create a relationship with each other, even if it's at its very beginning stages. There are a lot of people that I talk to, and these are specifically people that are more anxiously attached, that feel like they're the ones that have to do all the work and really carry the load of making the dates happen and keeping the connection flowing and the conversation going. So if you're in this place, if you're the one who feels like you're doing more of the work, your job to feel better about this and to have it feel more equal is to lean back, get more into yourself, and understand the boundaries that you have around your time and attention. It can feel really exhausting to be giving tons of mental and emotional attention to someone that you don't really know that much about yet. And it's common to do when we get really excited about someone, but it's important to notice when that's happening and come back to yourself and see the stories for what they are and just work with the reality that you have in front of you. And again, if someone is not responding to you, that says a lot about their intentions. If they really wanted to continue meeting up with you, they would reach out. There are times when people are going through a lot of things in their life, but if that's the case and they really do like you, they're going to let you know that. They're going to say, hey, I got a lot going on right now, or I'm traveling, I'll be back this time, and I'd like to meet up again. If you're not getting any communication from them, A, that says a lot about their interest of you, and it also says a lot about how they may show up in the relationship if it were to continue. And it's not a good sign if they're not showing up and communicating and sharing the load of making the meetups happen, because that's how you build relationship. In my opinion, if you want to build a long-term relationship with someone, you at least need to be meeting up with them once a week, or if it's long distance, which can be really hard, talking to them at least a few times a week. Otherwise, it's just hard to get in the flow of each other's life and to see if it's really a good fit. When Jenny and I were first dating, we would probably hang out 3 or 4 days a week. Granted, our schedules allowed for that, and we didn't have children, and we didn't have any crises happening in our life. But I'm just planting that flag because I've seen some people that stay in long distance relationships, or they're in these kind of pseudo relationships where they only see each other once or twice a month when one person's busy or they're both busy. And then they wonder why things aren't progressing faster, or they learn something about the person that seems totally different than what they thought the person was. And it's just like, yeah, that could be the case, because you have to spend a lot of time with someone and actually talk about the relationship that you want and explore each other's inner worlds and learn about each other's history and learn about what each other wants to really know if this is going to be a good fit or not. The second piece that I want to touch on in regards to ghosting and dating is specifically around men. I've worked with a lot of men and I'm a man myself, so I think I can speak to my general intuitions about what can happen with guys underneath the surface and some things that maybe women don't get about men. The first thing is that a lot of men grew up without having much intimate connection with anybody. That's just their norm. Men are okay with having flings or kind of pseudo what are we relationships, in large part, I think, because they've never had anything more than that. So for a lot of guys, it can feel really good. Like, hey, we get together. Maybe we're physical sometimes. We get to do fun stuff together, watch some movies, and that's that. Like, what more do you want? They're unaware that there is so much more to being in a long-term relationship than just that. And even if they have been in a long-term relationship, a lot of times leaving that is really painful, and it's easy to just go back into this like pseudo relationship space. This is a really unfortunate part about being a man in today's society, is that a lot of men just don't know what deep connection looks and feels like. And so when their partner or potential partner opens up and says, hey, I want more than this, it can feel like a threat. Like, you want me to do this thing or give you this thing that I don't even know what it is. And it just feels like you're telling me that I'm not doing enough. I've been there myself. Jenny was really the first woman who ever looked me in the eye and said, hey, I want more out of our relationship. And it wasn't that I wasn't showing up pretty good already, but she wanted to go get relationship counseling. And she wanted us both to watch relationship videos together. And she wanted to listen to relationship podcasts. And I was kind of like, I was on board for it, but I was also kind of confused as to why she would want that. And now looking back on it almost 10 years later, I can see that like the more that we learned about relationship together, the more it taught us how to connect more deeply. But a lot of guys have never had that experience. So the story that they get, the way they translate, I want more, is, well, I'm not doing enough. Or even more specifically, I'm not enough. Whoever I am as a person is not enough. Why can't that be okay? And they can get angry and frustrated or shut down. And I know I'm kind of going off on a tangent here, but this is one of my specialties, so I figured I'd touch on it, because I see this more often than not, that the one who's more anxious and kind of chasing is the woman in heterosexual relationships, and the one that's more avoidant is the man. And I think there's a lot of conditioning that has something to do with this, and I'm speaking to why that could be. So I could talk a lot more about this, but hopefully that's enough context. I want to move on to the third point about ghosting, which is how to deal with yourself and how to manage the situation when someone has just ghosted you. One thing I like to tell clients that I work with is that if someone ghosts you, instead of looking at it as a bad thing, I want you to look at it as a good thing. I want you to see the light side of it. Not that we can't pay attention to the dark and some of the things that maybe you can do differently, but the good part about it is they are giving you all the information that you need about this relationship. They are not interested, and that is a good thing. You don't want people that are flaky or not really interested in you showing just enough interest to keep you hooked in when they're not really available to show up and step up into the relationship. That is a good thing. So thank you. Thank you for being so clear about your intentions. You are not interested, and you get to move on to somebody else. Another thing that I like to talk to clients about is this idea of one up and one down. So there are probably one of two places, if you're feeling kind of anxious or frustrated, there are one of two places that you're going to end up once you've been ghosted. The one up position is like, F that person, you're angry, you're judging them, and you're really hooked into why they are so shitty or immature or whatever. That is not a very healthy place to be, right? Like, even just feeling into this right now, like, I feel the arrogance and the entitlement, like that's the energy that's coming up with this. So looking down on everyone that ghosts you and just saying like, oh yeah, this, the pool of dating of, it's just like a cesspool. I hear people say that sometimes. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, these are all just real people, right? Yeah. Like, I think as a general rule, our society isn't great at communicating, but you know, it doesn't mean that everyone is just living in a cesspool and you're just like the only one above it looking down on it. Okay. So humble yourself. Not everyone sucks, but sometimes they just don't give the feedback maybe that you want. And there's probably ways that you do this yourself and other ways where you avoid giving honest feedback, or you avoid a conflict, or yeah, you just don't really show up in another area of your life. So if you're finding yourself looking down on others, my challenge would be to humble yourself and look at the turnaround, which is there might be ways that you also are annoyed by this because it's something that you do. And you don't have to beat yourself down over it, but it's just like a gentle humbling, right? So that can be helpful to do if you find yourself looking down on everyone else. On the other hand, if you find yourself feeling really small or collapsing into shame, like no one likes me, I'm not worthy of love, then the work is to really lift yourself up and really bolster yourself, because you deserve love. You deserve a partner that's going to show up for you. And all the stories that you might have circulating in your head that you're not good enough, or the reason that they don't like you is because you're not pretty enough, smart enough, successful enough, rich enough, whatever it is, all that is not true. Okay. If someone doesn't like you for one of those reasons, that has nothing to do with your personal worth. And you are a good person who deserves a good partner. And I really want to drill into this point, because I find that often we can self-sabotage, because if we don't feel like we're deserving of something, that can really suck our energy, and we can act out in ways that further perpetuate the story that we're not enough. Take, for example, someone who has an unhealthy relationship with alcohol. Maybe you've known that alcohol is an issue for you, or recreational drugs, and you use it to cope. And when someone doesn't like you or doesn't respond to you or ghost you, you go out to the bar and just get hammered. And it's like you are literally doing the thing that's going to drive people away from wanting to be in a relationship with you, at least most people that want a healthy relationship, right? Like, most people don't want to date someone who copes with their problems by getting hammered, right? So to work with some of those maladaptive strategies, my advice to you would be to get support and change the frameworks from which you look at relationship and look at yourself. And this will really help. It'll help you be a healthier person, a better person, and treat yourself the way that you want others to treat you. Because ultimately, I think we're always drawing in people that are going to treat us the way that we treat ourselves. And this is a point that gets missed very often. Like, when someone isn't treating you well and you stay in relationship with them, or you stay kind of hooked to them, even if you're not in relationship, it's a subtle cue that you are okay with the way that they're treating you, because that is how you treat yourself. There might be ways that you actually ghost yourself and don't take care of yourself and don't listen to your inner voice sometimes. And so being in relationship is really just a mirror. It's a reflection of the world back onto us and how we treat ourselves. And if someone shows up in a way that we're really not okay with because we don't treat ourselves that way, it's going to be easier to walk away from that, because it just does not meet our standard of what we need as far as how we treat ourselves and what we need out of a relationship. So that's all I have to say about dating, and specifically the experience of ghosting. I hope this was helpful. And tune in next week, because we will have another video for you, probably Jenny and I. And if you like what we're doing, join the newsletter, get updates on all our courses and offerings and all this great conversation that we're having with all of you. Take care.